everybody. It's Mike Ryan, and it's been a while since my voice has been on one of these, so I'm excited about it. Bad news for you, though, because if my voice is on Mystery Crate, I think there's like an 8% chance, that's quantifiable, an 8% chance that it's soccer-related, and that's what this Mystery Crate is. So I probably lost many of you. But for those that are willing to give this a chance with an open mind, you're in luck, because this is a really inclusive episode of the Mystery Crate. The Premier League is starting this weekend. As you know, I am a massive Premier League fan. My club is Chelsea. I even do a podcast for them. I have a really cool partnership with that club that ESPN allows me to do, and I'm very thankful for that. On that podcast, I have a co-host and a producer. His name is Chris Whittingham. He is a radio play-by-play voice for Inter Miami. And you can also hear him on Grant Wall's Great Football podcast. He joins me on this episode of Mystery Crate, kind of like he did last year, only this time we want to be even more inclusive, not talk down to you in any sort of way, just really explain to you some of the storylines going on with the Premier League, and maybe you can make a decision if you want to get into it, fine. Maybe you even come away with a team to support if you listen to this Mystery Crate. So that is what we're setting out to do. I know that many of you aren't into it, and that's fine. Mystery Crate is just a menu item in the large menu that is Levitard and Friends and the Dan Levitard Show with Stu Gatt. So let's get into this week's Mystery Crate, a Premier League preview, in which my sincere hope is that you listen to it, give it some thought, and maybe give it a try. Chris Whittingham helps me out on this episode. Please enjoy it. Welcome, everybody, to an inclusive Premier League preview show. I don't want to call it Premier League for Dummies because right then and there, we're getting off on the wrong foot. Look, you're a soccer agnostic. You don't really care for it. When you were small, everyone around you said it was boring and you thought it was cool to say it was boring too, or you may legitimately find it boring. God bless you for listening to me this long already. But the best soccer league in the world, in my opinion, is the Premier League, and they are ramping things up this weekend, and we wanted to go out of our way to welcome casual American sports fans aboard and see if they actually want to sample this great league. Chris Whittingham, let's talk about the league champs, Liverpool. They set all sorts of records. They were a tremendous side. You could see this bubbling and gurgling to the surface. They won Champions League, and then they finally win their first Premier League of the modern era. A lot of people are picking Jurgen Klopp's team. Jurgen Klopp, a fantastic German manager who managed Christian Pulisic over in Germany at Borussia Dortmund, a big club. A lot of people are picking this club to win the Premier League again. Chris Whittingham, tell us about Liverpool.
Yeah, so Liverpool have been building year over year over year, adding. They started kind of with this base in the attack led by Sadio Mane, Roberto Firmino, and Mohamed Salah. They've become the sensation of the Premier League, the front three. They score goals. They're really fun. They play off each other. Best combination in the league, but they've since added in defense really strongly. Probably the best goalkeeper in the Premier League in Alisson, the best center back in the league in Virgil van Dijk, who they spent a bunch of, the two of them, they spent a bunch of money on, and then a homegrown in Trent Alexander-Arnold and the left back Andrew Robertson, and they've just built this really solid core of a team where all over the park they might have the best player in the Premier League. And so I think it's really hard to envision them falling off when they've already been so strong. They had 99 points a year ago after 97 the year before. These are incredible points tallies, and so you just have to imagine that Liverpool are going to go again and be right up there at the top of the league.
Now, it's not a traditional rivalry against Manchester City, but man, has it been fierce and fun to watch over these last few years with Liverpool finally winning the league from Manchester City and getting the job done. We've actually been to one of those matches, hotly contested match. These two fan bases have grown a healthy dislike for each other. Manchester City, David Silva leaves the club. It could be a weird transitional year for Manchester City. Am I reading that situation right?
Well, I do think they've been preparing somewhat in bringing in Bernardo Silva, a player from Portugal, and now a young kid from England, though he's involved in a pretty big controversy right now, Phil Foden. Do you want to tell? Because as long as we're being inclusive, the Phil Foden, Mason Greenwood story is worth telling.
Mason Greenwood is a brilliant player for Manchester United. We'll get to them in a second. But Phil Foden, who is now finally expected to finally grab hold of a starting 11 spot at Manchester City, is caught in this whole huge Snapchat scandal where he and Greenwood were busted because these girls that were invited to their hotel room during a COVID restriction started posting on social media. So they got caught red-handed and sent home. Bad boys. Bad boys.
Yes, and it was just a tremendous tabloid story, as it happens very often in English soccer. So Phil Foden has kind of been groomed to be the David Silva replacement. They've got some good wingers, Raheem Sterling, Riyad Mahrez. They brought in a Spanish player, Ferran Torres, who should be able to really help in that attack. So they're going to be able to score goals. Kevin De Bruyne is still probably the best central midfielder in the world. So I do think they'll be able to score. The question is always with them, can they defend? Can they see out these close games where maybe the chances aren't falling in? They can score four and five in a game, but then there's times where they can't look like they can find the key to unlock a side. So I think it's about, can they improve their defensive record, and can they kind of settle those games where teams are really bunkered in against them?
And if we want to catch you up on the history, Liverpool, it was great that they finally won the Premier League because they're this club with so much history, so many European titles, and to get that elusive trophy was such a big deal. And now they have reclaimed that top spot. Manchester City is considered new money. Right, Chris, you know all about this club. What is the perception of Manchester City in world football? Remember, this is a club that was heavily linked to Messi and was even considering paying that buyout, but Messi just didn't want to find himself in a legal case.
Right, so Manchester City are owned by a member of the royal family of Abu Dhabi. So huge amounts of money have been poured in. More than $1 billion has been poured in between transfer fees and salaries. And now they've actually built a sustainable business. They have clubs all over the world, in New York City, in Melbourne, and all over the world. They have in Spain, they're heavily invested in a team. So they've kind of built out this whole conglomerate. And with that money, they've been able to buy their way towards the top of the league. There have been plenty of clubs that have done this. PSG, Chelsea are among those that have gone and spent big amounts of money to get towards the top of the league. And so I do think that the traditional clubs, Liverpool and Manchester United and Arsenal to a lesser extent, have been fending off these challenges from the new money teams. And I think that kind of adds another layer of rivalry.
And they skirt the rules and get away with it because no one really knows how to enforce those rules anyway. And if you're a passionate Premier League fan that's not a Manchester City supporter, chances are, if you look at the top of the table and see Manchester around there and you take inventory of who's surrounding them, you're probably most okay with Manchester City winning because you don't know many of their fans. Right, neutral observer? Right,
yeah,
neutral observer.
He's a Manchester City fan.
Exactly, except for Mark Stein. Every time you get a notification on your Twitter, you're like, oh, it's not about a basketball trade. It's about Manchester City and Blue Moon. Aaron Rodgers is a fan too. All right, we move on to the red side of Manchester. Manchester United, one of the most famous clubs. The club of Beckham, the club of all these trophies. Sir Alex, blah, 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 blah. Spending lots of money. Paul Pogba, I've seen him in commercials. Manchester United, though, peaks and valleys with this club. I mean, they play red hot sometimes, and you think that's a team that could win the Champions League. That's a treble-winning side. The trouble is when you win three trophies. And there are some times where you're like, they need to fire this manager. Tell me about Manchester United.
And their attack has just been so strong in these last kind of 9 months, really from January on, when they signed a player from Portugal named Bruno Fernandes, who's come in and completely changed their team. A young player, Mason Greenwood, has come through their academy. He was the other that was mentioned in that scandal. Marcus Rashford and Anthony Martial have already been long stays there. Paul Pogba in central midfield, as you mentioned, famous player, but also really good player, especially on his best day. They signed a young player from Holland who was part of the Ajax side that went to the semifinal of the Champions League, and Donny van de Beek. So it seems like their front is really good. It's really at the back. Goalkeeper questions. David De Gea was thought to be the best goalkeeper in the world, but the last 2 years he had a terrible World Cup, and really since then he's not really recovered and regained that form. And there's questions about, as you said, their consistency. Can they do it week in and week out with a manager who's inexperienced? I think they're going to be right up there in terms of competing, but it really comes down to their level of consistency.
And if you want to be a supporter of a club that makes you the least a popular person at the soccer pub, Manchester United is it, because they have more rivalries than any other club in the Premier League. They don't get along with anybody. A lot of that is because they were at the top of the table for so long, but now it's just because they're not very likable. Leeds United is coming into the Premier League. They hate Manchester United. Manchester United have heated rivalries with Liverpool and Manchester City, even Chelsea. Let's talk about Chelsea, because you mentioned that they're one of these clubs that spend a lot of money. They actually took a break from that, and now, boom, during a pandemic, while everyone else is saving money, Chelsea are back to ruining football with their Russian oligarch owner, spending money everywhere, signing great, exciting German players. This is a club of the American Christian Pulisic. Exciting things on the horizon for this club.
And Pulisic in particular, for the audience, I think, is going to be the link, that the thing that's going to make them want to watch, because Pulisic was incredible after the coronavirus stoppage. They came back towards the middle of July, and after that, he had like 4 goals and 5 assists, scored the opening goal in the FA Cup final. This is right now America's best player, and probably America's best ever player in terms of the current level of performance that he's achieving in the club game. Now, Landon Donovan has achieved more with the national team. Clint Dempsey has had amazing moments, but in terms of the level at which he's performing, at the level of club that he's performing at, no American player has succeeded to the level of Christian Pulisic. He's 21 years old. So you can only imagine this player is going to grow even more. Combine him with 4 or 5 really good signings, and Chelsea look a really fascinating prospect from an attacking point of view. They're going to probably be your most fun watch this year in the Premier League. If you want to watch a game that's going to have goals, watch Chelsea. But the question is, can they defend well enough to really compete at the top end of the league?
Couple things you need to know. He was just handed the number 10 jersey. Now with Chelsea, certain clubs, number 10 could be a position that you play. It's usually reserved for your most creative midfield player, or some clubs just do the thing where we'll hand it to our best player. He earned this number 10 jersey based on the performance of last year and their number 10, Willian, leaving to Arsenal. Arsenal doesn't get along with Chelsea. Arsenal doesn't get along with anybody. Lots of chatter. Some might accuse this club of being a banter club, even though that is very insulting. I actually love that Arsenal exists, because without Arsenal, we don't have Arsenal Fan TV. YouTube bit. Tell me about Arsenal, because now they got hardware and they have impressive victories over Chelsea in the FA Cup final, a victory over Manchester City in the FA Cup semis, and they won the Community Shield over Liverpool. This is a team that is now all of a sudden got some hardware to back up all that tough talk.
Well, they haven't won a league title for more than 10 years, and I think that reputation was kind of begun on, they're the best attacking team in the Premier League, but when it really comes down to big games, they just can't defend well enough. They have a soft center and you can get at them. Well, that narrative is almost entirely flipped. They still have some great attacking players. Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang is chief among them. He's exceptional playing off the left wing. He's a golden boot candidate for sure, but they've really locked things down at the back under their new manager, Mikel Arteta. We like saying his name and Arteta. Throw a little flourish on it.
Arteta.
And so you have his defensive teachings. They play with a 3 out of the back, and they do like to build out, but still, they've been so much more solid. They've signed a couple more defenders. Their goalkeeping situation is really good. So I don't think that playing Arsenal is the same. Yeah, it's a big club, but we should probably be able to beat them. I think heading into this next season, I don't know if the big clubs are going to want to play Arsenal as eagerly as they have in years past, and that's a big departure. We'll see what it means in terms of their position in the standings.
Now, if you're watching this, more than likely you're an American, and there's this whole bias against American soccer supporters, and you'll really notice that with Manchester United supporters over there across the pond and Arsenal supporters, with the American football ownership of the Cronkies and the Glazers, not very popular folks over there in London. And look, this is a club that just furloughed 55 workers and they turned around and signed Willian for it. Not a very popular ownership situation over there. Arsenal, hated rivals of Tottenham. I don't like Tottenham because I'm a Chelsea supporter. We actually went to a Tottenham-Chelsea game. Very intense. Tottenham have the most well-known, most colorful manager in all of club football, really, Jose Mourinho. If you want to catch up and if you want to support Tottenham, as I say that, as I grit my teeth, you can actually catch up on last season on Amazon right now. That's right. They had their version of Hard Knocks highlight this club, and it was a tumultuous season. Pochettino was their manager, got them to a Champions League final, improbably so, fired early on in the season. Jose Mourinho, the charismatic, some would have other ways to describe him, figure, now manages Tottenham. It's a weird fit. He plays very defensive football. They don't spend like the big clubs, although they have some big players on their club, and Jose Mourinho will proudly complain about it in the public.
Well, yeah, he's always going to ask for more money in terms of transfers, but I mean, in terms of the Amazon All or Nothing show, all it really reveals is that Jose Mourinho likes to drop the C-bomb and encourage his players to play like C-bombs. So, I mean, this is a guy who came in Spurs with this free-flowing, fun attacking team, and he took every aspect of that out of it, destroyed it with his awful, soul-destroying football, and turned them into a defensive juggernaut.
You're the neutral observer, Chris Whittingham. I feel like you're letting your opinion show. And Jose Mourinho's had a lot of success. Now, there are some that say the game has passed him by. Chris tried to tell you that, but not as kindly as I did. However, I think his brand of football actually helped. Tottenham certainly played better under him. It has its place in football. Whether it has its place in the Premier League remains to be seen. These are some big clubs, but there's some exciting mid-table clubs that are trying to crack the glorious top six, as it's commonly referred to. Wolverhampton Wanderers have arguably, I know Christian Pulisic is in this argument, but if you want to talk best player in CONCACAF, which is the United States qualifying region, Raul Jimenez is on Wolves. And just from optics alone, Traore, brick bleep house, this guy is put together like an NFL middle linebacker, not a soccer player that you've ever seen before. And he's fun with the ball at his feet. He's fast. He's pacey, even though those games aren't fun to watch, Chris.
Well, I think Wolves right now are probably the team that are most likely to make a jump into crack, as you said, that top six, because there's one team every season that benefits from not playing in Europe. And I think either the Champions League or the Europa League. And so I do think Wolves, having missed out on the Europa League because Arsenal won the FA Cup, are going to be the team that most benefits from not having the tight schedule. They played the longest season in club football history, 65 games that lasted more than a year. So the opportunity for them to rest, get ready for games with a bit more, you know, strategy and all that, they should be able to really compete at a high level. They brought in a couple of good signings too. They have ties to this really big agent in Portugal. They brought in this 35 million pound 18-year-old from Portugal who's kind of going to be the next big thing for them. So I think Wolves have a real chance to climb towards the top of the league, and as you said, difficult to play against.
If you want to be a soccer hipster and pick a new team that doesn't have a lot of supporters, maybe has some cool looking kits, but has some players and you really want to truly believe you'd like you have a shot at winning, Wolves are for you. I want to highlight a couple more of those clubs, and then we'll talk about the newly promoted clubs and talk about the really cool aspect of the Premier League, which is promotion and relegation. We can't talk about every club here, so apologies if we miss one that you're interested in. Hopefully that club is Chelsea and you've already settled in. Oh, wait, I'm supposed to be more of a neutral here. If you want to be miserable, I suggest Everton as a club. This is textbook Everton. Man, they had an exciting summer transfer window, and I'm working myself up into a lather believing that these moves might finally put them in European qualifying position. Chris James, a name that several people in South Florida know, the Colombian superstar, finds his way to a great manager. His former manager, Real Madrid, Carlo Ancelotti, has a pedigree that you really don't see managing a club like Everton. They are bitter rivals of Liverpool. They are crosstown rivals. They are the little engine that could, and their fans are, admittedly, they will tell you, Roger Bennett, one half of Men in Blazers, will tell you how miserable he is because this club makes him so. Tell us about Everton, perpetually disappointing.
Yeah, it seems as though Everton, with a new owner, are constantly trying to not be Everton by bringing in expensive players, players from Europe, promoting players from elsewhere in the Premier League, bringing in players from bigger clubs. But in the end, they all end up with more Everton attached to them than the reverse. And I just think that Everton are going to end up settling for mid-table. I mean, at some point, I feel like this cycle has to break. Three really good signings. You mentioned James, Abdoulaye Doucouré from Watford, Alan from Napoli. Like, they're doing really good business. Every time, three straight summers are going, wow, Everton killing it in the transfer market, and Ancelotti just felt like wasn't able to break them from the cycle of Everton. We'll see with an extra month of training and getting to start from the beginning of the season if he can, but I can't really envisage them until they prove otherwise. I think they're just destined for what they call in England mid-table obscurity.
Yes, they, or just Everton. They're synonymous at this point. God bless their hearts. And if something ever good happens to this club, I'm genuinely going to be happy for them. My NFL team is the Cleveland Browns, and I see plenty of parallels between those two. They're also kind of like New York Jets because they'll actually really get excited with exciting off seasons and actually legitimately think they have a chance. So that's really who Everton are. Let's turn our attention now to some of the other London clubs. West Ham, featured in some movies you may know, they had a battle for the relegation. They had to battle their way out of the relegation zone last year. So if you want to be a hipster, they have a pretty cool name. They have cool kits, the Hammers. You could do worse, but not much worse. If you're looking to do worse, Fulham, recently promoted, rivals of Chelsea, West London, posh part of West London. Fulham, owned by the Khan family, who own the Jaguars, so another NFL Premier League cross-promotion here. They're trying to get a foothold in this Premier League. Last time they came up, they got sent right back down. But they have an exciting player in Mitrovic, and they have one of the most beautiful stadium grounds. We've actually been at this stadium. It is a pearl. I really hope it stays in the Premier League.
Yeah, we've been there twice, and it's my favorite trip in England. It's right on the River Thames. You're walking through this big park to get there, and it's my favorite. I love going to Fulham, so I agree with you. I hope they stay. Really, the big concern for them is the last two times they've been in the Premier League, they've given up more than 80 goals in those two seasons, so they just need to lock things down in defense a little bit, and I think they've signed enough. They really beefed up their squad in the Championship. They haven't really done it too much since joining the Premier League, but could do with another center back or two and really be able to try and consolidate their plays. They signed a pretty famous goalkeeper in Areola, previously at PSG and Real Madrid. So they're trying to address those issues, and really the goal for them this year is finishing 17th.
Crystal Palace, another London club. They have cool kits as well. They have Roy Hodgson, who is the author of one of the more famous soccer GIFs there are out there. I know plenty of people are upset of how I say GIFs. It's how the creator intended. Get off of me. Let's move on to Leicester City, one of the more improbable champions in Premier League history. Just a couple of years ago, this team has actually stayed kind of good since that. This was a team that was fighting to stay up in the Premier League, and then all of a sudden, movies will be made, documentaries have been made on their majestic run to an improbable title. They're hanging around. They got Jamie Vardy, who was their leading goal scorer that year. He's still hanging around. He's really like the lone face. That and Kasper Schmeichel, really the lone faces of that team that won the Premier League, that team that's going to be remembered throughout time. They make nice signings, though. They do good business, and this is another team that should be right back there competing for a top four slot.
Yeah, they were right up there a year ago and just lost out because after the restart period, they were horrendous. So I'll be curious if they kind of got that out of their system and now can kick on at the beginning of this season. But I mean, there was a time in December, January where we thought guaranteed to finish in the top four, but just completely fell off and, you know, kind of performed like a team that would finish in 15th for the second half of the season. So I'll be curious to see if they can get back to that form. Jamie Vardy still, I mean, he's a Golden Boot winner a year ago. He's someone who, you know, even in his 30s, is still scoring tons of goals, Red Bull fueled. And we'll see, you know, if Leicester can do enough to improve year over year.
Red Bull fueled is a good way to describe them. Let's go through another couple of clubs quickly here. Sheffield United, they were recently promoted. Kind of a weird style of play, but they're nicknamed the Blades and have a cool crest. So if you're looking to be a soccer hipster, go ahead and do that. West Brom, don't do that. Don't do it at all. Just stay away. Although the Hawthorns is a cool place for a home stadium, you could do better. May I suggest Turf Moor of Burnley? I don't know if they're going to be around for a very long time in the Premier League. They've been up, they've been down. They have a pretty good run right now for Burnley, but the clock is ticking. It seems like it might be about time for them to go back down. We'll see. But one of these claret and blue uniforms that you see all too much in the Premier League, that's Burnley. It's a tough place to play occasionally. It's a tough style to play against occasionally. Always searching for an identity. I never really know what I'm going to get when I get Burnley. I don't think Burnley supporters know what they're going to get when they get Burnley. Let's talk about really what every Premier League fan, what every neutral is excited about and what certain clubs are dreading. They gave Dracula the keys to the blood bank. Leeds United. This, to me, is the best storyline outside of a compelling title chase for the first time since Manchester City and Liverpool were separated by literal inches. Leeds United enter the Premier League with a fan base that is loud and proud. It's been a very long time since they were in the Premier League. They're making all sorts of signings, and they're planning on being here for a while, and they are in your face about it.
Yeah, Leeds United, it's two stories with them. So one is the club. They got relegated in 2003-04, and they haven't been back since. This is a big club that, you know, regularly is drawing like the biggest crowds in the lower division, and huge fan base, rabid fan base, and so it's really huge for them that they're back, and they've gone through so much. They were in the Champions League at the beginning of this century, and then 3 years later, they were relegated because they had bad owners who basically needed to make the Champions League in order to be financially viable. They've been relegated into League One, which is the third tier, so they've come a long way to get here, and it's really, for me, the biggest bummer of no fans yet is that Leeds aren't going to have a packed stadium for their first games because it just would have been so fun to watch them in a great atmosphere. And then the other storyline is their manager, Marcelo Bielsa, who is kind of this ideologue, cranky old guy, but has been the thought leader in the world game for like 25 years. Kind of was the first to establish, you know, major pressing high up the pitch, really changed the game on video analysis, changed the game on, you know, dieting and food being a big part of a footballer's career, not smoking cigarettes and eating hamburgers in between training sessions. So this has been someone who is this incredible character who's led Leeds. He joined them when they were in the championship, has this really cool story, and now is like a hero in this city. They're going to build a statue of him outside the stadium, and I'm really fascinated to see how his style of play, which is very buccaneering, attacking, we're going to get after the opposition. They played Liverpool in their first match, and if they go for it against them, I cannot wait to watch this. So for me, it's the club and the manager that make this fascinating.
Yeah, we've seen clubs try to go for it after being recently promoted, and it doesn't always work out. Look at Norwich City. Every time they get promoted, they get sent right back down. But Leeds should go for it because they're spending money, and they have the manager to do it. And I really do hope, and don't quote me on this because I may regret this, Chris. I do hope that they stay because I've always heard about Leeds fans, and I've had very few interactions. They've been memorable with Leeds fans, but we all have a time here in America where we get into the Premier League. And when I got into the Premier League, Leeds was talked about as a club from the past. I've never actually had them in the Premier League. I've been looking forward to this day. I'm surprised it took so long, and I may be dreading exactly what I said. These words may be held against me in the very near future, because we're about to find out a whole load of Leeds fans on Twitter. And might I suggest, if you find yourself as a cocky individual, if you want to be a part of something big and
brash,
a little brash and agitating, and you're looking for a club to get into on the ground floor, that's a pretty good one. They've got history in the Premier League. Loads of people hate them. And if you win, your cockiness is going to be deserved. So Leeds United, if you want to be that soccer hipster, is a pretty good club for you to settle in on. But we're partial to the Blues over here as host of Chelsea Mic'd Up. So hope you check out that podcast, Chelsea Mic'd Up, the only official Chelsea podcast. We get all sorts of interviews with players on the team, front office types, certainly worth your time. Thank you so much, Chris Whittingham, for joining us here on this episode of Mystery Crate and putting this out on the social media so people can get into the beautiful game. Game start this weekend. We hope you give it a chance.